This is the third chapter of part 5, Dramatic Forms. Name of the chapter, The Problem Play. The Problem Play is a play which usually deals with the social and moral problems in a realistic manner, ending with a tragic tone. The most important characteristic of the problem play is that in it, the society appears as a villain and responsible for human doom and destruction, not the individual himself. It is thus designed to change the opinions of the audience by making them conscious of their own situation in the social setup. The problem playwrights raise certain definite questions by posing human problems before the audience. They generally avoid to give any ready-made answer or solve the solution, but force the audience to think and find out the remedy themselves. Eric Bentley justifies the term problem play on the ground that it always ends with a question mark. These plays are also called the plays of social significance, thesis plays, propaganda plays, revolutionary plays, plays of social protest, or the drama of ideas. The important problem playwrights are George Bernard Shaw, Granville Barker, Galsworthy, T.W. Hobartson, Henry Arthur Jones, Sir Arthur Wing, Elmer Rice, Clifford Odets, and a host of other American dramatists. They make an attack on society, pouring out a field of fury on it. They claim that it is society which determines the fate and destiny, rise and fall of modern man, and crushes his dignity and vitality. Their plays are of a particular day and mood, exploding a passionate outburst against the existing socio-economic and political institutions. Sharing an intellectual climate, they feel that the relevance of the theater lies in its power to open our eyes and to steal our torments by answering our questions. Their writings, abounding in light and fire, depict the suffocation, boredom, confusion, violence, poverty, starvation, prostitution, and moral decline of the age. Being an era of common man, the dramatists focus their attention to common man, to his everyday life and his troubles and tears. They are searching for responsibility instead of crying for freedom. They present the contemporary social, political and economic situation and distress and bring an awakening in the theater for the first time. Anita Block aptly remarks, "A vital theater in any epoch calls for plays which furnish commentary, interpretation, illumination, and criticism of that epoch. When a theater fails to do this, it may represent a charming ornament, it may afford a pleasant diversion for the seekers of pleasure or of escape, it may exhibit literary, histrionic and other technical talents, but it is not a vital theater. The theater was engrossed in the social issues to such an extent that almost every aspect of contemporary life, from politics to economics, social injustice to homosexuality, and lesbianism filled the stage. the dramatists try to expose how the poor are deprived of even basic human necessities. They always keep high the freedom and responsibility of the individual and criticize the social as well as political institutions which are instrumental in inhibiting freedom. The writers are perturbed with corrupt business ethics, moral loss brought about by the excessive materialism, and the dehumanizing effect of the technological growth. They present the Negro as a race struggling for security and equality against the hostile dominant white world. The dramatists also strive to mirror the social problems like city life, slums, choking atmosphere fraught with smoke, noises, and pollution which destroy human values. The problem playwrights felt that the purpose of drama is not only to entertain but also heighten the awareness of the audience to the contemporary ugly realities. Their plays become propaganda plays and revealed the economic crisis and also demanded on behalf of the common people some economic reform urgently. The communist-influenced dramatists preferred the Marxist solution and a complete overthrow of the old capitalism towards the common man. The exploitation of the working classes, labor unrest, unequal distribution of money, and lynching of human rights provoked these dramatists to be revolutionary and encourage the mass to bring strikes, demonstrations, processions, and even sabotages to the private and government properties. In this way, drama in the hands of problem playwrights became a vehicle of the expression of ideas dealing with crimes and injustices, conjugal relations and sexual morality, conventional view of love and matrimony, economic slavery of women, facilities for divorce, unemployment, housing problems, and family disintegration. Thus, the problems paved a path for man to live with peace, happiness, and comfort, eradicating social, political, and cultural evils. The problem play suffers from a ruthless criticism. It has been regarded crude and inartistic in form and dull and painful in content and appeal because it is against the Victorian prudery and conventions and deals with the unpleasant themes and motives and moral perversity. That is why Bernard Shaw is accused as a specialist in immoral and heretical plays and the devil incarnate and was abused, vilified, censored, and suppressed. The problem play is also considered a pamphlet or sociological treatise as it has a purely topical and social significance such as economic crisis, reform of prison condition, facilities for divorce, votes for women. It lacks universal appeal and permanent interest because of its didactic purpose and rationality. So, it is rarely considered good art because when the propagandist gains the upper hand, the artist perishes. The problem play is full of conversations, arguments, debates, and lacks action. Emotion is sacrificed at the altar of thoughts and ideas. The problem play does not also follow the established methods and principles of dramatic construction. It is shapeless and amorphous. The dramatist's main aim is to convey ideas rather than tell story, and he focuses his attention to the fortunes of sinners, rebels, thieves, and prostitutes. His characters, therefore, are said to be immoral and vulgar, destitute of nobility and idealism. They are conceived as mere puppets or mouthpieces of the dramatist. The charges leveled against the problem play are not wholly true, but it demands a high order of technical skill with a new experiment in dramaturgy. The problem playwright does not disregard plot construction, but tries to reveal his purpose and views through significant and convincing stories of life and action. He observed the unities for the sake of economy and structural compactness in order to emphasize his themes through action and dialogue. But he does not stick to the conventional notions of these devices and considerably modified their shape and function. Their scope and function. The problem playwright is least fascinated by glamour and romantic extravagance of life, but deals with dull, prosaic and ordinary humdrum of life, avoiding violent action on the stage. He adopts certain novel devices to produce effects of the ideas. For example, a significant pause, a sigh, a casual gesture, trivial action, or mere glance. He strives to express the deepest feelings through the halting, laconic utterances of their characters. Thus, the problem play cannot be considered a sheer propaganda play, nor is it an inferior art form. Of course, for those it may be uninteresting who think that the theater is only a place of imaginative escape from the realities of life. This chapter is now over.